Today's Bible lesson is entitled Sennacherib's Question. Sennacherib's Questions. When Sennacherib laid siege to Jerusalem, Hezekiah had instructed the inhabitants to be strong and courageous. You see, he assured them that, though they were outnumbered by Sennacherib's army, they were superior in strength because they had God to help them fight their battles. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. And this is what the Word of God says. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And Hezekiah was right. In one night, an angel killed 185,000 leaders, captains, and mighty men of valor. And Sennacherib returned to Assyria in shame. Notice in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 32, the Word of God says this, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Now between the time of Hezekiah's speech and Sennacherib's departure, Sennacherib tried to discourage the Jews who were in Jerusalem with demoralizing questions. He tried to frighten them and trouble them. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 with me, verse number 18. And the Word of God says this, then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech, and unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. This is a skillful tactic in war to give the enemy an advantage. And in fact, this is the tactic that is often used against us in our spiritual warfare. Questions trouble you and make you afraid and dismayed when you need to be strong against an attack from your enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Amen. My dear listener, if you are not fully trusting in the Lord God, questions like these will break your fragile reliance upon the Lord, and as a result, your enemies can defeat you. Notice that Sennacherib offered the conditions of surrender in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 in verses 31 to 32. So let's turn together to the book of 2 Kings, and we'll look at that chapter 18 together, amen. And in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 31 to 32, this is what the words of God have to say. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, And then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his fig tree. And drink ye every one the fountains of his cistern. Until I come, take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. These are the conditions, my dear listener. These are the conditions that your enemies offer you. A land like your own. In other words, they offer you the world rather than the church. A place where you can live and not die. In other words, a place of pleasure rather than the reproach of Christ. And the sad thing is, a lot of Christians fall for this offer. Now, I want us to notice just how these questions can discourage you and weaken you in your spiritual battle to stay separated from the world in the lust of the flesh. First of all, we see questions cause you to doubt, number one, to doubt your pastor's preaching. Questions can cause you to doubt your pastor's preaching. We need to turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles with me in chapter 32. Let's look at verse number 10 together. 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 10. The word of God has this to say. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust, and ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? You see, Hezekiah, the man of God, told them to trust the Lord. And he was absolutely right, was he not? The Lord is the one who defeated Sennacherib's army. You see? And if the Jews had doubted Hezekiah's words, they would have doubted the Lord, and they would have made a deal with Sennacherib. You see, in a spiritual attack, your enemy, be it the world, the flesh, or the devil, wants you to doubt the Lord. You know how he does this, do you not? He gets you to doubt your pastor in the preaching of the words of God, so he can get you to doubt the Lord. Amen. The devil did this in that Garden of Eden with Eve, did he not? Now God gave them some specific instructions. He gave Adam and Eve some specific instructions to follow. Amen? And then one day along, the devil comes and he says to Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. What he did was he put doubt in the mind of Eve by asking her this question. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Amen. He got Eve to doubt the words of Almighty God. And we know what happened. That's why we're born with a sin nature, because of the fall of Adam and Eve in that garden. So again, be it the world, the flesh, or the devil, they're going to get you to try to get you with questions to doubt your pastor and the preaching of the words of God. So then, as a result, they can get you to doubt the Lord and not trust in the Lord. As an example, there are untold thousands of Christians who are taught by professors in college to doubt what they learned in church. Amen. In other words, you've been attending a good Bible-believing church all your life that takes a stand on the Word of God. Amen. And then the young person goes off to college and the professor, amen, says, forget all about what you've been taught. This is the real thing. Amen. We don't really have the Word of God. We don't have the original autographs. Amen. And that's a lot of bunk to get them to doubt the words of Almighty God and that what they were taught in their home church. In other words, they offer you a new land, a new life, all for the purpose to get you away from the Lord and the Bible. And let's see, questions then can cause you to doubt your pastor's preaching. Questions can cause you to doubt the Lord's provision. The Lord's provision. Again, with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, in verse 11, the words of God say this, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Again, the enemy here is causing Israel to doubt the Lord's provision. See, Hezekiah believed that no matter how long the siege lasted and how large Sennacherib's army was, that the Lord would deliver them. The Lord told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah that he would deliver them. Sennacherib, the enemy, amen, which is a picture of a type of the Antichrist, proclaimed that the Jews would die of thirst and starvation for believing this. See, when people get nervous about food and water, the basic necessities, they panic. But the thing with Israel, they had a history with God. They knew that God had brought out the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. And he brought the manna from heaven and water from a rock and quail for meat. It's not like they didn't see God provide for their provisions in the past. They saw it time and time again. But Sennacherib tries to get the children of Israel to doubt the Lord's provision. That's what Sennacherib wanted them to do. And that's why your enemies, be it the world, the flesh, or the devil, want you to do. They want you to question God's provision. You see, the world gets you thinking about the necessities of the flesh. A spouse, a job, a house, money, etc. And then gets you to panic. Amen. You worry that you'll die before God can provide you with those things to your satisfaction. Amen. That's sometimes what we do as Bible believers when voting for candidates. Our focus is not on Bible principles and how that candidate stands, but what are they going to do for me economically? You know, that candidate may be against the nation of Israel and helping Israel out, although the Word of God says that we should do that as a nation. But that candidate promises to give you more money back, put more money in your pocket. Amen. And you have a tendency to vote for that person. What's more important, Amen. Being blessed by God because you've helped Israel out, or having more money in your pocket. See, we take the bait. We doubt the Lord's provision. The Lord said He'd provide for us. He meet all our needs, amen, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what often happens with a Christian? They take what Sennacherib has to offer. They take the bait. They doubt the Lord's provision. Amen. So far we've seen a couple of things that questions cause you to do. Amen. They cause you to doubt your pastor's preaching, to doubt the Lord's provision, and to doubt God's exclusiveness. God's exclusiveness. Looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 12, the words of God say this: "Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, Ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it?" See, there was great reform under King Hezekiah, the king of Judah at the time. He took away all these false places of worship and idolatry. Hezekiah consecrated the temple and restored the worship of God solely at the altar as before, as God said it should be done. And here we have Sennacherib. He scoffs. He scoffs that Hezekiah should have excluded the worship of other gods. See, that's what the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to do, to doubt God's exclusiveness. Amen? In other words, there are many ways to heaven. We all worship the same God. But the Bible tells us clearly, God is exclusive. The only way to have your sins forgiven, secure yourself a home in heaven, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're bought with a price, the price of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. See? So, as we see, the world scoffs at you and me. When we proclaim that the God of the Bible is the only true God and Jesus Christ is the only way to Him. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," Jesus said. You see, the world preaches inclusiveness and rejects you when you are exclusive. Oh, they'll say you're this, that, and the other thing. You're a hater. Amen. Because you say there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. The ridicule is so intense that it causes Christians to back off and quit being so dogmatic about who can go to heaven. That's what our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, would like us to do. It gets intense when you witness to someone or you hand them a gospel tract. They'll call you a religious fanatic. They'll rip the tract up. If you go door to door, they'll slam the door in your face. But God knows there's that one individual He sent you to that needs to hear this and will receive it. But see, the world will keep you from trying to do that. You see, the enemy, my dear listener, wins when you and I quit preaching the gospel. Why? Because that gospel is the exclusive power of God unto salvation. Remember what the Apostle Paul said over there in the book of Romans? In the first chapter of Romans, he was so emphatic. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, Verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But the enemy will try to get us to back off, to doubt God's exclusiveness, that there's only one way to heaven through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what else about questions? Questions will get us to doubt the church's permanence. The church's permanence. Amen. Well, let's look at, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 13. The Word of God says, "Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nation of those lands any ways able to deliver thee their land out of mine hand?" You see, Sennacherib had a track record against all the other nations he fought against. None of them escaped. They were all defeated. Amen? And none of the gods of the other nations could help them, could defeat Sennacherib. And we know why, because there's only one God that can to destroy the enemy and defeat the enemies. Amen? And that's the God of the Bible. Our enemies have certainly had a lot of success against colleges that once taught the Bible, churches that once preached the gospel, organizations that once stood for God and Bibles, that once preserved the pure words of God. You know what I find interesting? A lot of churches today have gone non-denominational. They've taken the name Baptist off the church. Amen. Baptist, the name Baptist means a lot of things. Amen. If you're a Bible-believing Baptist, you believe that the Word of God has been preserved in the King James Bible. You believe it's the final authority. You believe in believer's baptism. You believe that you're only saved by faith through grace and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and many, many other things. But people take it off because they don't want to offend anybody. Amen? See? And our enemies want us to believe that the church cannot stand, that it will not work to deliver us either. But my dear listener, don't be fooled. Don't let the enemy's questions get you to doubt the church's permanence. The church is the only place where you can still be delivered from the ravages of the world, the flesh, and the devil. If those enemies cause us to doubt the effectual working of God in the church, then they can get us to quit going to church. And when we quit going, we lose. Amen? Or, what the enemy has done, as if completely infiltrated the church, and you never recognize it. You've got a group of young people dressed very unkempt in blue jeans, some of them with holes in their knees, playing musical instruments and mouthing words that sound somewhat Christian because they mention Jesus once in a while and God. Amen? And then the preacher gets up, if you want to call him a preacher, and does a little sermonette that doesn't offend anyone. Amen? And they have this campus and that campus. They have the main church with the senior pastor, as he's called, and then he's on the television screen, amen, for the rest of the other campuses that have spread out, the satellite campuses. That's what it's becoming, amen? So we see then that questions from our enemies, they try to doubt the church's permanence, And they also try to doubt God's deliverance. God's deliverance. Looking in verse 14 of chapter 42 of 2 Chronicles, the word of God has this to say, "Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, and your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand?" They get you to doubt God's deliverance. Sennacherib's purpose, he wanted to discourage the Jews by getting them to doubt whether God would be able to deliver them. If they believed that God couldn't, then they would surrender to Sennacherib rather than fight. You and I know, listener, that God is greater than every god of man. So when our enemies attack us, they just want us to question not so much whether God can deliver us, but whether he will. Ultimately, they want us not to fight and look to them rather than God for deliverance. My dear listener, I ask you, how many Christians have turned to the world for help because they fear that God wouldn't or couldn't help them? That's why we're in the mess we are today. And finally, we see then, questions cause us, or the enemy tries to have us doubt with questions, to doubt God's record. Look at verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 32. "Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand?" So you see, Sennacherib boasted about his record. Against all of the other nations he had fought and defeated. Therefore, he assumed there wasn't any god that he couldn't defeat. By boasting of his own past performance, he was able to take their minds off of God's past performance. And this is how the devil does it, my friend. He scares you into seeing how bad he is, and you forget how good and successful God has been. God has never lost a battle and never will. The funny thing about Sennacherib is that he didn't realize that God was behind all of his former victories. And you need to remember that the Lord uses the devil as well. So what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. As long as we live in this world, we are going to constantly face attacks from our enemies. And when questions arise in your heart and my heart that cause you to doubt, you can't let them shake your faith in the words of God, the provisions of God, the sole power of God, the church of God, the deliverance of God, and the record of God. My dear friends, God is the winner. He is the deliverer. And he will provide.